you're going to praise God, probably one of the first places you want to go is Psalms, in Psalms, just somewhere in Psalms. But near the end of the book of Psalms, where we see, when songs are a song book, you know, our song books are kind of divided up, you know, in certain sections. We got a praise section, we got, you know, repentance, you know, all kinds of sections. And near the end, it's all about praising Him. Not huge theology, but just praise. So we're going to be looking at Psalms 147 this morning. The entire chapter, I know it's 20 verses, but most of them are short. It won't take but a few moments. Let's just read it. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Isn't that great? It's good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of them, and praise the Lord, for it is good. Okay, where are you at? All right, let me finish the word. Go back to the first. Thank you. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and in those who hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. And He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Let me deal with this for a second, this last phrase. The nations are not under judgment right now. As bad as things are, it'll be later before He actually does the judgment. We don't know what judgment is, and hopefully we won't know. As a saved group of believers, we won't know. The word praise is used 247 times in the Bible. And we find the words praised and praising God 35 of those times. We are told to praise God 31 times. And we are told to praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah, 25 times. The word hallelujah means to shine or to flash light forth. When we're all praising Him together, we're sending out a bright light of praise that should be able to be seen by a lost and dying world and recognized by our God, our Father. Isn't our God praiseworthy enough to shine His light to the world through praising Him? Yet when or last time, now this is a trick question because someone's already said hallelujah a couple of times. But when's the last time you've heard somebody say hallelujah in one of our churches? Now, you go to our brothers down the road in Christ, you'll hear the word hallelujah and a whole lot of other words describing God that we, you know, that we just don't use. And we feel a little awkward saying.
And I'm going to have to do this for a second. But they feel a little awkward saying it.
These are exactly the things that he's commanding us to do and to say. There was a young woman, and she wandered into a liturgical service in a Lutheran church. And I don't know if y'all know much about liturgy, but basically it's reading. And you're praising God by just reading a passage. And they have... Some of y'all know exactly, Dan, you know exactly what we're talking about. But it's dry and boring. But that's their form of worship. Now, I'm not cutting it down, but that's their form of worship. As the pastor preached, though, that day, she got so caught up in the message, she stood up and she said, "Praise the Lord!" And someone next to her leaned over and says, "Excuse me, but we don't praise the Lord in the Lutheran church." Man down the pew says, no, that's not right. It's on page 19. That's where we praise Him. Now, too often, we become like that, forgetting that praising God can be more than just coming to church or just saying amen at appropriate times. I mean, I've been in places that you couldn't even squeeze an amen out of people. And you know me, I'm not going to beg for an amen. Every once in a while I'll say, if you're going to say one, this would be a good point. But you should want to say praise the Lord. It should be feeling the idea that He is so awesome, so great and so mighty that you're wanting to say, and He's done so much for us, that you're willing to say, "Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah." Too often we become like that, though, where we sit back. And even if we do feel it, we're afraid to actually say it. And it leaves us pastors frustrated. Because we want to believe that you're feeling what God is doing for you, but yet you're afraid to express it. And then if you express it too much, then we're going to have to say, "No, we're not like those other people down the road either." Listen, God's not going to want you to express or make you express your praise in a way that's going to look silly or not make sense. Okay? If you're looking silly, doing silly things and not making sense, I will assure you that's probably not from God. So, I want to look this morning about praising God and the method this morning of praising God. You praise Him by words. We've already talked about that. Saying things. I know some people that praise God all the time, but they're just words. I know some people that I know are very thankful for God, but they never say it. That doesn't need to we need to say it. You know why we need to say it? Well, God knows what's in my heart. Yes, He does. But does that person sitting next to you, do they know? Does that person that you work with, do they know? Are you giving proper credit and praise to Him when something good or bad happens in your life? And does the people around you know? And the only way they're really going to know is if you say it. Thank God in heaven that He's done this. This is all God. Praising Him. We also can praise Him by song. I love singing praise to God. There are times in my life when I forget to listen and I forget to sing. Now we'll come to church every Sunday and we'll sing and all that, and that's fine. But I'm talking about all those other times in my life that I just forget to the music and the song and how it uplifts my life. And I would hope that along the years that Aaron, I know Randy, you know, our singing of praise has touched and moved people's lives and recognized how great God. I'll tell you, that song did me. It moved me. It made me realize that we're just crossing over the Jordan. And by the way, a little plug, Israel's already crossed the Jordan, and you can find out all the details on Wednesday night. That's shameless. But we do it by song. It's one of the things that we do together and as individually that can uplift His name. We do it also by our lives. There is something to say about living a holy life before man and God that shows a world that you rely on Him. And your life can be a living testimony to someone else. And it can show praise. In the midst of the storms of life, you can actually, by your actions, show praise to Him. So who are the ones that's supposed to offer praise? Us. Everyone in here should offer praise. We are the ones that God wants to praise Him. If you're not here, if you're here today, and I look around and I don't see anybody here that hadn't professed to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but if you're here today, you made a profession, but you're not really saved, He doesn't want to hear your praise. He wants you to get on your knees and be saved. All these yahoos out in the world today who are denying that God even exists, He doesn't want their praise. He wants them to be saved so that they can praise Him. It is us, the saved, child of God, believers, we're the ones that He wants us to praise. But you know what? Even if we will not praise Him as children of God, He will get His praise. In Luke 19:40, He says, "I tell you that even if these stones should keep silent," even if those people should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Even creation will cry out His praise if we don't. So what is the object of our praise? And I think this is important. Who are we giving praise to? Who are we giving our hallelujahs to? And too often, it is men. I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. Back early in my ministry, before I got here, we went to a youth rally. Had three little girls up there, and they sang like angels, and the place came down with amens and hallelujahs all over the place. It was awesome, and they did a good job. And then the next special was another little girl, and you could tell she was just scared to death, and it was horrible. Now, I'll just be, it was not good sounding. And I'm sitting there trying to listen to the words. And when she got through, there was hardly any amens. Makes you stop and think about who we're actually giving our praise to. Isn't it? Is it to me? I don't want you to praise me if I do something good. Although it would be unusual and noteworthy. But if I'm doing something good, it's not really me, is it? Many times, and I've had this happen a lot, especially at camp, and I figured out how to take care of it, I don't want them to grade me on my performance when I'm singing. Okay? And so I'll go right into a prayer before any amens or applause or whatever it is. I just go into it because it's not about me, and I don't want to think something about me when it's all God. Our praise must go to God only. And God is not an afterthought when we praise Him. When you talk about yourself, and I did all this and did this, oh yeah, and God helped. That's the way it seems sometimes. Why is it necessary that all of our praise goes to God? Because He is God. He's God. He made us. He saved us. And we are less than gnats compared to Him. And because even though mankind as a whole has rejected Him, even though we don't follow His commands, we turn away from Him, we're all like sheep who scattered, He loves us anyway. That's the reason why we should praise Him. It's a privilege to praise God. You realize that? Not everyone in this world can praise God and be accepted. There's a lot of unbelievers out there who said, thank God. And they don't even know Him. They don't have the ability to praise and thank God in the way that we can, where it's accepted. Praising God is good. Singing in the heart, and I know a lot of y'all folks say, well, I just sing from inside because it's better for everybody that way. I've heard that. That joyful noise type of deal. Singing in the heart is good. But singing with the heart and the voice is better. And it's good because it's acceptable to God. He accepts that from us as praise and worship. And I love a great uplifting song, don't you? One that makes you toe starts tapping and you're listening to the words and you say, I can't wait to get over that River Jordan, right? Can't wait. Or praise, our praise to Him can be best expressed in a joyful song. And I like it. But more importantly, God wants it from us. And He wants us to show, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. See the problem with that? Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a whole difference in the way we approach because God sees on the heart. And in the heart, I'll grant you this, in the heart, you may be praising Him, but I don't know how you can hold it back. If you're truly praising Him, how can you hold it back and not sing from the heart with everything that you have? And who cares if someone laughs at you? Who cares if someone says you can't sing a lick? I don't. But more importantly, God doesn't. He does not care. It's a good thing to praise God, whether you're in song or by voice or by your life. Let's flip over a couple of pages. Psalms 150. I meant to do this earlier in the sermon, but it'll fit here too. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psalterian harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in everything that you do. Because it's good. But it's also pleasant and beautiful. It's a pleasant and proper thing to give praise to the Lord Almighty, the Almighty King. And you know what? It's delightful to hear a whole congregation praise the Lord. It's one of the things I've missed over the last few months. Is people coming together and singing. We're not there yet. One day it'll be where we can really blast it out, and I can't wait for that day. Is for a congregation. Sometimes, and y'all don't realize this, but sometimes we're in a song, and I'll go to the back, and I'll shut up, and I'll just listen. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. And it does my heart good to hear my brothers and sisters in Christ all praising God at the same time. So, may it be pleasing to us to praise, because it is pleasing and beautiful to God to hear it and to recognize it. And let us all feel that they are a choir for the daily celebration of the Lord's praises. Do you realize that praising is not optional? You realize that, don't you? I just don't feel like it today, so I'm not. You see, God is the master builder. He is the builder of this church, not you or not I. He's the architect. He's the builder of your life. I want you to look for a moment at what He's done for you. And look what He could do for you if you just let Him. He pulled out outcasts. And He found a place for them in this world that they could worship and praise Him while they are here. He's saying, well, who are these outcasts? There's us. We were all outcasts until He brought us all together and changed our lives. We are the outcast. When someone does a great service for you, something that he didn't need to do, but did it anyway, what is the very least thing that you can do for that person? Say thank you. I don't know. At the first of this crisis, we would pull up to a drive-side service and get food, you know, and we understood the problems that our restaurants were having, and we would give a really good tip. And then every once in a while, somebody come out, and we'd give a really good tip, and they wouldn't even say thank you. Not that our tip was based on their thank you, but you thought, if someone had given me a $7 tip, I'd at least say thank you. Right? How much more do we need to praise the Lord our God, the Creator of all things, who has done so very much for us? And we are commanded to worship Him. Yet it should be that our hallelujahs come, even though we're commanded, our hallelujahs should come freely and willingly, without reservation. Because if we truly understood how great He's been in our lives, there will be a problem in having us fake saying hallelujah. When I get in those moments, those times in my life when I begin forgetting what God has done for me, and I get to thinking about this world and all the problems of this world, you have to come back to the part that says, well, you know what? It don't really all matter because of what God has done for me. A special people, and that's what He calls us. He calls us a peculiar people, and we are that. But a set-aside people, a special people, should give special praise. Do you agree? He's called us into our own. We have an obligation of praising Him because He's the master healer. He binds up our wounds. And He heals us. It's easy to praise God during the easy times, the good times. But it's harder to find praise during the tough days. Many of y'all know and I know y'all been through some stuff too, but in the last 4 or 5 months, it's been difficult for our family. Trying to find the praise in all the various things that's going on at the moment, and praying and and then thanking God when he saw this one, and it just comes to another one, and it's just one right after another, and you're going, okay, is it what you know? You want to say, what did I do wrong? But this is just the storms of life that pop up in this season. And I could either, you have a choice. Do I sit there and get discouraged, downhearted, and say, woe is me? Or do I look up from in the middle of the storm and say, I praise God for this storm because it's going to look so much better on the other side? So it's easy to praise God because he was all right. Everything was right. But what about when it isn't? Can I praise him then? Can I stand up and say, God is good? Can I say hallelujah in the midst of the storms of life? And you know what? There are no conditions to pray. Well, I'll praise God when he does this, this, and this, or when I do this, this, and this. We must just praise. In Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name continually. Not just when the seasons warranted of life, but constantly. Do you realize how much better your life could be? My life could be if we just continually gave praise to God, focusing on the greatness and the goodness of him. How is that? Because of the promises he's made. Because he's the master saver. We are bound to praise him because of what he ultimately did for us. Sending his son to come to this earth to die for us in our place, taking away the sin. I can't even begin to say I've done anything like that for someone. And I don't think I could. He sent his son to die for us so that we could live forever with him. Ultimately, that's why I can praise. You see, I know where I'm going to go when I die. I know where some of my folks are either going to go or already there. I know where they're at. They're over across that River Jordan. That's where they are. You know, I know where they're at. I know that when this life ends, it's temporary and we're going to be in glory with him. I know this. And so in the worst of times and the worst of things that happens in my life, I can praise God for what he did so that I can spend eternity with him. Period. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is the passion of praising God. Praising God has to be done from the heart. It is not ritual. It is not liturgy. It could be, but not in itself. Guys, if you come to church and you say, I didn't get anything out of church today, that's not my fault. That's not Randy's fault. That's yours. You know why? Because no matter how poorly I do, or any of the special music or the songs, no matter how poorly it's done, it does not change the ability for you to praise and worship God. It does not. You can do that amidst the most boring sermon ever. You can still praise God. Because it's done from your heart, not because you've heard a good song. Not because you've heard a good sermon. Not because I was especially uplifting today. It's done because your heart is prepared to worship and to praise him. And it's to be done for the love of God only. Not for the praise of man or anyone else. I read this someplace and I just can't. I think it's just an awesome phrase. Because you say, well, I can't praise him enough. Well, praise him what you can. A drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of His mercy. Let me read again. A drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of His mercy. Give Him all. Praise Him all the time. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Every time. Every point in your life. Praise the Lord. Shine, flash that praise to a lost and dying world. We do not praise. We do not shout hallelujah in our lives near enough. Can you do that today? Can you honestly say, remember that time when you went back to your life, that point in time in your life when God was dealing with your heart and your life, and you said, you asked him to come into your life, you trusted and believed in Him, and He came in and changed your life to a point to where you knew that when you died that you're going to be with Him, and all the issues of life seemed insignificant to that one moment when you understood exactly where you were going. You remember that time? If you can, you should never have a time when you cannot praise God. There's never a time when you can't say hallelujah to God. This morning, it's my prayer that you here and those beyond that camera today are saved children of God, and that you have the every right and the ability to say hallelujah and praise God and give Him honor and glory. Whether you're doing it or not, but you have the opportunity, you have the ability. But maybe you're out there, and maybe you're wishing that you could have this type of praise. Maybe you're wishing that you could praise God in that way and truly mean it. And understand, maybe you're wishing that you could have the knowledge of what's going to happen to you when you pass from this life. If that's the case, if you're wondering how you could get this ability to speak to God and praise His name on a level that you know is not right, that you can't do now, can I make a suggestion to you? Forget about praising Him. And realize that you're a lost and dying sinner. And you're not worthy of Him. And then you realize that without Him, you can't make it past this life. You can't be in heaven with Him and your loved ones. You can't do that right now. You realize that. There's a burden placed, a conviction placed upon your heart by the Spirit of God that's saying you need to come to Him today, that you're lost and dying and you need Him to save you. And if you're feeling that right now, then you need to talk to Him. Forget about praising. Just give it to Him right now and say, Lord, I know I'm lost and dying and I need Your everlasting salvation, which I believe and trust in You. Would You save me? And when He does, you know what we're going to say? Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And you know what He's going to say? Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. It's that simple. And then, after you've done that, you can spend the rest of your life praising Him. And oh, by the way, guess what we're going to be doing in heaven? Absolutely. We're going to be together again one day, guys. We're going to be together again, and we're going to be praising God in a way that we could only imagine. And we'll be together doing it. This is practice. That'll be for real, because we'll see Him face to face. It's my prayer today that as we stand and we prepare for this invitation, that you will
realize, for our believers that realize that you have the duty and the obligation, that you should have the want to praise Him every day through thick and thin of this life. And if you're here or out there beyond the camera and you've never accepted Jesus Christ and you want a little bit of that praise to give Him praise, well, then you need to realize your situation and give Him something and let Him give you something that you can praise Him for, His everlasting salvation. So as we sing, this is your opportunity. Your opportunity to praise Him, to get right with Him, and to thank Him and ask Him to save you if that's the need be. So would you do that this morning as we sing?
Number 524, Just As I Am.